Okay.
Blog Talk Radio.
It gives me great pleasure to introduce and present to others the CEO and host of WBSW Radio, the internet station. Sometimes they call him Dr. Lowe. Sometimes they call him Coach. Brother. The Love Guru. Without further ado, let's introduce the host with the most, Dr. Lorenzo D. Smith, WBSW Radio, the internet station, has listeners and watchers in 25 countries, including the United States, north of the borders, Canada, and south of the borders, Mexico. Dr. Lowe, let's make it do what it do.
We're going to make it do what it do. I am Dr. Lowe Smith, the host of Talking Real to You Primetime. We're really excited about tonight. We have an awesome show planned for you. Because, you know, I'm excited because as we begin to grow and nourish like we should, God has blessed us to have so much talent around us. And by having that talent around us when it's being tapped, we want to be part of that process to tap it as well. So we're really excited about our co-host and now a author of an awesome book that's going to present some great reading for everybody that chooses to get one. She's going to share some thoughts and some of the reasons why she wanted to write this book and make this book available to the public so the public can read about her mindset, where she was, how she dealt with things, and what exactly was in her life that she encountered in the educational system. All we want to do is to do that and present it to you. That's what we're all about at WBSW Radio, the internet station. And basically, you're asking the question, why are we talking real to you prime time, just bringing these awesome topics? Because, you know, we want to be in a position to just talk plain old life issues. No matter what's going on in your community, we want you to be able to present a format to us so we can share your awesome things or whatever is going on, the issues in your neighborhood, and that's what it's all about. So Talking Real to You Prime Time gives it an opportunity. We want you to be a part of the show by calling in. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. Press 1, and I'll make sure I get you on the line by identifying the last four digits of your cell. Ask for your location and ask you to join our favorite son, our favorite daughter, our favorite special co-host. I had to say it that way because we had to include everybody in here that going to offer some awesome thought in regards to her book, her first book. And we will do that in a minute. I don't want to come out and say who we're going to be talking with tonight. I just want you to be able to guess and think about it. Also, you can check us out on the web link. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/WBSW Internet Talk Radio. You can email the show at talkingrealtoyou@gmail.com. Tweet the show at talkingrealtoyou with the number two, talkingrealtoyou. Then also you have at WBSW_internet_talk_radio at Lorenza D. Smith 15. At Coach with a K underscore L underscore Smith and the Smith Wave Production on Instagram, where we are very excited to be able to partner with the Brothers of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated, Zeta Phi Sigma Chapter of Greenville, Alabama, that we get an opportunity to showcase and talk about various issues. But being partners with them, they provide us with the support, whether it's through helping through production, just coming up with a guest, whatever it may be. So we appreciate those brothers of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity and so glad they chose us to partner with. Also, you can check our show out on at presidentdr.lorenzadsmith. These are live broadcasts through social media. Then on Facebook, you have facebook.com/DRL Dialberto Smith. So we look forward to just bringing you all of the issues that's in your neighborhood. And see, basically, besides just talking about plain old issues, we want to address things block by block. This is a neighborhood show. This is a grassroots show. We started from the bottom, and we're going to work our way up to the top. It's not going to be a trickle-down effect. So when we bring in our guests, we bring our guests to share some things with you. We are all about making every topic, every issue available for you to think about, discuss, talk about in your corner of the world, and just share with us. That's what it's all about. We also want to share with you that Talking Really to You is heard, primetime is heard truly in several countries, many countries. We're excited because as we was talking the other day, we was up to 444. This is our 445th episode at WBSW, Internet Talk Radio. Now, we want to put in a spin that now we move to a new direction. The new direction is WBSW Radio. The internet station has listeners and watchers in 25 countries, including the United States, north of the border and south of the border, Mexico, north of the border, Canada. So we're excited. We're really excited. I'm excited because this person is a special guest. She's a blue and white family. I'm not about to introduce her yet, but she's truly an awesome co-host. Truly, I love her being here. Love her because she's my sister in the blue and white family and decided to expand and step out. And we want to be the first opportunity to interview her to put it out. We want to be it, and that's what WBSW Radio, the internet station, is all about. Before I move forward to the introduction, I want you to take an opportunity to hear some of the co-hosts, the names of the co-hosts that comes in from time to time, and we want to give them a shout out. We have Hales from Central Alabama, member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated, none other than Miss Lauren D. Smith. Thank you, Coach Smith. I'm going to say Coach Smith because she's a coach on the other shows. But she called me probably about 10 minutes earlier. We was talking about something dealing with her job, and that's with the coaching part of her career. So we talked about it, and I knew she was leaving that spot, which was out with a game, wasn't going to be able to be a part of this. And she's young. She's a millennial, just trying to get a foothold. We also hail from the state of Georgia. You have Dr. Olivia Eastman, Dr. O, we call her. She comes. She's a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated, as well as we have hail from the great state by birth, right, Ohio. But at this time, she lives in the southern peninsula of this United States, which is in Florida, Boca Raton. Thank you so much, Miss Lisa Levine. And heading out on the West Coast, young lady that's co-founder of Owning My Own Truth, take the time to work with everybody in Oakland, California, none other lady I call to put the boots on the ground, Miss Tina Robinson. All right, now, without further ado, I'm so excited to be the first one to have an opportunity to talk with this young lady about her book, her newest book, her first book. And in this time, I tell her because she's a former educator, administrator, and all that. We write a lot of things down. But when we come to want to put it all together so we can share with other people, we have expanded where God has blessed us to be. We are servants of the people. We will serve you. And this is the way she's giving back in. As I said, she's a former educator, former administrator, former counselor. Now she's an author. And I'm so excited. She's a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated and the co-host of Talking Real to You Primetime, none other than truly, truly my sister in the blue and white family and in Christ, Sarah Scarlett H. Black. How you doing, Sarah?
I am doing great. I'm doing fantastic and glad to be with you tonight. We are always real. And I do want to thank you for the opportunity. You taught caught me off guard because you are the very first interview that I'm having about this book. And I'm greatly appreciative of that and glad that you all, Talking Real to You, and the 25 countries representing Talking Real to You are getting the chance to do that tonight. And I do appreciate it. And thanks again, as always, to our listening audience that joins us week after week, because you have a lot of shows going on during the week. And we have people that are, you know, participating and interacting with us all each and every week. And that's just a blessing. So I'm just glad to be a part of this group.
And I tell you, Scarlett, thank you so much for joining us. Now, before we get started, I want to give a shout-out truly to those individuals that's joining us by way of Instagram. And I'm going to give you a shout-out. And many of our members of the Blue and White family, I want to give them a true shout-out for doing it. So let me step over so I can get the first one, at first two or three. Man, I tell you, we have quite a few. And I have to scroll down, and I'm and for Facebook, I'm all in my chest, all in the camera. We want to give a shout out to for, and let me see, Sandy Green 790. Thank you for taking time, Sandy, to be a part of this. Also, we want to give a shout out to and I want to give these because you know they are listening. PBS Underworld. Ada Sigma, chapter of Phi Beta Sigma fraternity, Blue and White. Give a shout out to Tick Nine, a member of Omega Sci-Fi Fraternity Incorporated, and also a good friend of mine, Coach DP, Coach Darrell Pickett. Thank you so much, bro, for joining us. We also have Aaron.Rev. Aaron is a member of Victor Phi Sigma chapter of Greenville, Alabama. He's our truly an awesome individual. When it said Rev, he's a pastor. Truly, he's a God. He's ordained by God to do the work. And he's willing to do that work, but he works as our financial secretary. Had to think about it for a minute. Then we have this is BSCH 1990, a member of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated. You have Miss Bush, EBS, a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. And then we have Zayman.Butt.5095110. Thank you for joining us as well. Those are individuals so far joining us, and I had to step up and step out so I can make sure I get everybody called, because it's good to have individuals join us from all over the world. We don't know their location. We just appreciate them taking time to be a part of this. Scarlett, I tell you, I'm sorry, Arthur. Scarlett, author, let me say it, because she's going to be known, besides being a co-host, she's known as a author, and she's doing some, she's been doing these things all the time, but she took time to put it all and capture it all she needs to catch it in regards to her newest book. See, I don't want to steal her thunder, because when I want her to discuss her newest book, I want her to give us a title, and then what was the behind coming up with this title, and how did you feel when you was writing it? Because as an author myself, I know when things hit you had to get it and put it on paper. It may have took time, and I know it took me time to put the first one on paper, the second one, and third one. But the truth of the matter, it had to hit me, and it did. And I'm hoping, by listening to her, and I know she's on our show every Monday night that we have the show, and she offer her opinion in a way that lets you know she's all about putting the work in. She don't play. So I love that, and I appreciate it. So Arthur, Sarah, I almost said it because I put it should be Sarah Arthur, but I almost said Arthur, co-host, Sarah Scarlett Age Black. We take the opportunity now to share with everybody the title of your book and some of the information you just want to start off sharing so we can get them energized and get them ready to go. Then we'll talk in depth as we move in the show.
Okay. I'm hoping I'm coming through real clear. Hope that we'll stay connected tonight, because you know how it goes when you're putting something out, you know. Yes. the evil always wants to try to get into the mix, and we're not going to allow that tonight. As we do each time that we meet, you know, we're going to work out the kinks, and we'll do what that we'll make it do what it does. We got to do it.
Yes, ma'am.
Basically, this is not the book that I intended to write. I've always wanted to write a book, and even when I was in my career working, you know, folks say, are you going to write a book? Are you going to write a book? I mean, I was always asked that question. And another question I was always asked, are you going to run for a political office? Are you going to run for a political office? You need to run for political office. And so these have been things that are that I've been passionate about for a very long time. But as God would have it, this is not the book I was going to write. I was going to write another book that deals with leadership, you know, the educational leadership doc that we always, you know, we always do and all the conferences and stuff that we attend. Is that making sense?
Yes, it does. Yes, it
you
does.
You know, that's what you know, I was going to do, write another book about leadership because I've done a lot of leadership workshops and training all over many places. And that's also a passion of mine about training, making sure that people get the skills and the things they need to reach their potential and to be the very best. But God said, no, there's enough leadership books out there. This is not the book I want you to write. And at the time, I had retired, and I think 2020 and 2021 really put things in perspective for me. Basically, it was the killing of George Floyd, the shooting of Ahmaud Arbery, things that just brought tears and tears and tears to my eyes and in my spirit. My spirit was just so low in terms of how do we continue as a country, as a people, as a culture to deal with these types of things. And now it's being shown on national TV, people being killed and shot. And then the children that I've worked with, the young people I've worked with all 42 years of my career, you know, that you work so hard to make sure that they had everything that they needed to transcend their communities, their lives, their families, to make things better, to reach all their potential. And all that just came crashing down on me. And at night, I always keep a pad on my nightstand, on my side of the bed, to write down things that just, like you said, hit you at various moments and things that you want to, you know, bring out or things that you want to use for inspiration when you give a speech or you go somewhere else. So it's that type of stuff, you know, that I always did anyway. But one night, I was up writing this book. You know, after all this, I asked God to give me the words, give me the wherewithal. How could I do it? You know, can I step out on faith in this new endeavor in my life? Because this is a total new endeavor and a total departure, even though I have been asked by so many people, when are you going to write a book? Are you going to run for political office? Well, I knew the political office might be out of place because I live in such a conservative state, and I live in a conservative state that is ruled by people, you know, not like me. So you have to know where you are, and you have to know how to navigate where you are. So I knew that might not be a possibility because, first of all, I would not be able to carry a precinct that doesn't have the constituency that you would need to do that. So next thing I said, well, this is not the book I intended to write, but this is the book that I have been given to write, and I'm going to follow his lead on what I need to do and what I need to write. So the title of the book is White Privilege and Systemic Prejudice in the Little Red Schoolhouse. the subtitle, Narratives and Hard Truths by a Former African-American Principal. That's the title of the book. And in defining why that particular title is because it parallels my career, it parallels my life, and it parallels our society, what we're having to deal with at this particular time. And again, from the things that I saw on TV, national television, of people in our culture still being harmed by a lot of things that we just seem to never be able to escape. So that's the title. So I opened my book with White Privilege and Systemic Prejudice in the Little Red Schoolhouse. And I started telling my narratives. I started telling my story. And my story is going to go in line with part of America's story, particularly when it comes to the African-American community, the black community. And I open it with this quote by Dr. Michelle Obama, former First Lady of the United States of America. Every day you have the power to choose our better history by opening your hearts and minds, by speaking up for what you know is right. And I'll say it one more time. She says, and I quote her, every day you have the power to choose our better history by opening your hearts and minds, by speaking up for what you know is right. And from that, it was important to understand that we know what's right. You know, whether anyone tells you that or not, people basically know what is right. But the action of what you do is right. You know, you can know it, but do you act on what is right? And I knew for me, as a lifelong learner and a lifelong educator of children and young people and even young adults beyond high school, I knew it was important for me to not only know what is right, but on their behalf to do what is right. That's how I live my life. That's how I lived my career. And through it all, there was not only the pain, there's a lot of pain, a lot of success, and a lot of reflection that I had to do along the way. And I talk about this, and the narratives that I give in this book talks to that, on things that we collectively, you know, would know and recognize as a culture. We would know that. Some things that I talk about, you can be in Timbuktu, wherever, that would resonate with someone in Timbuktu because, yes, I've been there too. I talk about how it was when I grew up in a segregated Jim Crow America, and now we're here living Jim Crow 2.0 or Jim Crow on steroids. You know, so how far have we come? Have we really come that far? And when in my career as an educator and administrator, in the classroom, as a counselor, as a teacher, as an assistant principal and a principal, I was about affecting change and trying to make sure that children, regardless of race, creed, or color, poverty, zip code, or whatever the case may be, that each day we would give it our all. Look, I talk about the resistance I felt and lived and survived, and how I was able to take poor economic and failing schools and try to, because you come from a poor and economic depressed situation, your mind is not poor and economically depressed. You still have a brain that you can use, and again, to help children and young people to transcend their surroundings and environments to make it better not only for them but for their families, and to start building that generational capacity that you're going to keep passing on down to your siblings and to other members in your family, that if I could be the first one in my college to achieve a college education and I work hard at it, I'm going to be that model for them too. So this is pretty much what I had in my mind when I started writing this book. So I say that spent my entire life as another Hannah Jones, Nicole Hannah Jones said in her book 1619 Project, that she spent her whole life proving that she belonged in elite white spaces that were not built for black people. That's the white privilege. A lot of these places are, you know, we know that they were not and they still aren't built for us. But we got to find our way, carve out our path, try to make changes, systemic changes, not only for ourselves, but for those who will follow us. So this is all what got me started and what got me going. So I dedicate this book to my role models, my mother, first of all, who was a trailblazer and a community activist in her own right, and who in the late 1940s, obtained a college education and was able to go into a career that did not involve preaching and teaching, but into banking. And she was the first black woman I ever knew that had a passport. The first black woman who was a banker from the county where I grew up in North Carolina. And I dedicated also to women like that and to people that worked with me on this quest to make a change, systemic change for children, in spite of the systemic prejudice that we often received and had to navigate. So this is what the book pretty much starts and is about. I then go on to define what white privilege is, and basically white privilege deals with the following. It's inherited advantages possessed by a white person based on their race in a society characterized by racial inequality and injustice. The concurrent societal use of the term is as follows. It was popularized by Peggy McIntosh, who is an influential scholar and activist in 1988. And she wrote a paper called White Privilege and Male Privilege, Personal Account of Coming to See Correspondence Through the Work in Women's Studies. And she identified and likened white privilege to an invisible knapsack of special provisions, assurances, tools, maps, guides, code books, passports, visas, clothes, compass, emergency gear, and blank checks. The term white privilege has come to be used to explain power structures inherited in American society that disproportionately benefit white people while putting people of color at a disadvantage. That's the term, and that's what it means, and those are things that I, in my career, also encountered. So for those who dare to stand and make a difference, Charlotte Black, Master of Education, I've written this book, White Privilege and Systemic Prejudice in the Little Red Schoolhouse, Narratives and Hard Truths by a Former African-American Principal. To give you the stories that I've lived, and then I tell you what I learned from those stories, from that living that I had to do on behalf of the children that I served. In the chapters, some of them deal with You Ain't Nothing, the time that I was called N-word a lot and had supervisors who did not look like me to stand there and let it happen and never corrected the person. I talk about the good old boy network and practices. I talk about inherited low expectations that we sometimes feel, well, not sometimes, but often feel, people of color, people of poverty, women may have to experience low expectations. I talk about the paradigm shifts that were coming because I was determined that children were going to get what they needed and the things that I had to go through in order for them to get it. Then I talked about me being defined as an educator. And even though I was on the same rung of the ladder as colleagues, white colleagues, there was always a difference of feeling or made to believe that I was invisible. And my colleagues, minority colleagues like me, you know, that we just didn't exist. And the title and the tale of two schools and white privilege. I talked about the two schools I led. At one time, I led two schools simultaneously. I would go to one school in the morning and go to the next school in the afternoon because we were getting ready to go into a very multi-million-dollar building program for a brand-new school in the area. That was a rough period in my life. In fact, I actually broke out in shingles. I was just stressed to the hilt. But I was determined no one's going to see me sweat. As a commercial that I used to love back during the day, they'll never let them see you sweat. And that was something that my mother always said. She said, regardless of what's going on in your life, you be strong. And if you got to cry, you go somewhere where no one sees you. But when you're out there in the front, you show that strength and determination, and you get the job done. That's what my mama said. You know, this is a lady who blazed a lot, like I said, was a trailblazer in her own life, and I had that as my role model. My dad was a veteran, and coming home from World War II and Korean conflict, it was bad to see how, you know, men who had served this country, and couldn't come home and live a decent life and still be called boy and things of that nature. That stuff hurts. And those of us who come through the baby boomers era and millennials who may not know anything about that now, those were the lives that my parents went through. My mother had a college degree, and the first job that she could get was that of working in someone's home after she graduated. And the next job was that working in a dry cleaner's, you know, dry cleaning clothes that was right below the college where she graduated. And my grandmother said, we did not put you through school for you to do this. Make a change. And so that's when she did. And she was determined that she was going to not only do better, but be better and make sure that we follow in her footsteps to also do better and be better and reach our potential. Then I talk about the double whammy, and black women know what I'm going to say about that, because that's a double whammy. I talk extensively about the double whammy and the things that I had to go through as not only a black woman, an educator, but also as a black woman, because you're still seeing, and I was, in a different light, and women that looked like me, and it wasn't that many of us. Out of 103 schools, 13 women were in some type of capacity, either the leader of a school or working in a leadership position within the district. 13. And the luncheon pad was when I knew that my kids, I still call them my kids, my children were on their way. We crossed the line. We crossed the hump. We got above it, and we didn't look back. And then I talked about, I'm a very, very, I love Dr. Eddie Glaude, who is professor at Princeton University. He's also an MSNBC contributor in the book that he wrote. And I love it. And so I talk about in my book about bearing witness. about what this book is. It's bearing witness to all these things. And so towards the end, I put stay woke and hidden messages that we've got to be vigilant. We've got to always be alert to what's happening in our communities, what's happening in our society and in our country. Because without a clear democracy, who are we as Americans? And then if the black Americans, we're always having to strive and just gouge out an existence. You know, if we don't have that, if we don't have a democracy in order to do that, then what's going to happen as we go down through the different levels of life in our communities? And then I talk about Brother John Lewis, who I had the honor of giving an award to several years ago in Atlanta when I was region director. And I talk about whenever I would be in D.C. or wherever we would, you know, have a chance to just communicate. What a wonderful, wonderful inspiration to many of us, and particularly to me. I call it good trouble, necessary trouble. I talk about when I had to take on the state of South Carolina, and I mean the state of South Carolina, the entire State Department, and how I had to take on a situation in order that my kids, my children, the ones that I led, to get a fair shot at something that they needed to have done. And I talk about that. I talk about the 6 years and the 6 cents that we finally pulled together. 6 years in education is really not that long, but we were able to pull a school together and what needed to be done in 6 years after we got over the good trouble, necessary trouble. And then one of the final chapters I talk about is the badge of honor. You know, there's some people I met along the way who thought it was just really their badge of honor to keep kids back, to retain kids multiple times, and to, in fact, and the one I talk about in that particular chapter, I finally had to tell her, and you find this as a badge of honor? Really? What's so hot about this? Where's the badge? Where's the honor in it? That, you know, a child in middle school, almost 16 years old, and you saying that you're not going to pass him because he just, if he didn't pass, you're not going to give him anything. How many times did he have to take the same class over and over and over again? Did you ever think that we still didn't get it this way, that you need to come another way? So I had to let her know, you know, no, this is nothing honorable about this, about retaining children, about keeping them back multiple times, you know, just because they can't pass the same thing they looked at last year. And then the final chapter is the clarion call, a call to action. You know, I'm adding a voice to this discourse on education and what needs to be done for children who are minority, who are poor, who live on reservations, who live in rural areas, who do not have the right zip codes. What is it that we need to do? And so I talk about some things about that. And one thing I do mention is that we got to get over this notion that black males in the classroom are to be feared. I'm sick of that. You know, what are you going to fear from a five-year-old black boy and you the adult? What is there to fear? You know, we got to meet them, and one thing I always ask, be at your doors in the morning. Welcome them into your classroom with a good morning. And then when they get inside the classroom, ask them how they're doing. How did they get along when they got home last night? You'd be surprised what you would find out. Sometimes they just want to tell you, you know, and when you look into their eyes, you can see that there's pain there. But you also can see hope. And I talk a lot about hope on this show. I've seen it in children, the hope that they have for what can be. If somebody just puts their arms around them and say, okay, we're going to help you get there. And that was my thing. We're going to help you get there. We can't solve every problem, and we won't. We know every kid we will not achieve the goal. We know that. But at the same time, you try to give what hope you can and put your arms around a child, a young person, and just say, okay, you know, it don't mean to physically put the arms around for you, not come about doing that, but just the, in your voice, in your mannerisms, in the way that you look at a child, they know that you really have their best interest at heart and that you care. So this is what I talk about in that final thing, the final chapter, because we all, as Americans, have the wherewithal, but we also have the promise of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that just doesn't mean for half of the American population. That means for all of us. All of us. And these are the things that I discuss, and these are the things that I touch on. I tell the stories, like I said, I tell my narratives, my stories, and then I tell you the hard truths I learned from that. One chapter in particular, the whole book really. Sometimes I be crying when I get through reading because I've read it. I don't know how many times now. I'm very passionate about what I do. I'm compassionate for people, and I'm easily touched and emotional. And I talk about my principal, who was a role model for me in high school. Well, in fact, he's a principal all the way through. Because on our campus, we had our first grade all the way through 12th grade on our campus, and it was a big campus. And I talk about him, and I don't forget that when I first started in education as an educator, and I was working in the high school one of my colleagues said, well, they saw him, her husband was a lawyer, and she talked about how, you know, it was just so upsetting to see him with a uniform on, serving other principals and the superintendent and all their guests and friends at their house for a party. And I said, well, first of all, why should it be upsetting to you? You know, because when I see him tomorrow, he's still my principal and always will be. I said, but the bottom line is he had two kids in college. He had to feed them and make sure that they got what they needed to get to college. And if that meant having to be in a subservient role, as you call it, to do that, then he did what he had to do to take care of his family. You see, nothing is too subservient when you got a goal in mind for your children or for yourself. You know, we all will do what we need to do in order to make things happen for others. And she didn't quite understand that. You know, she came from humble beginnings, but she was lucky to marry a lawyer, and one of the highest paid lawyers in the town at the time, and a highly respected man. But it just bothered her that, you know, here my principal was, that I grew up with, and was principal of my school, how he had to go out and make an additional living to take care of his family. Well, you weren't paying him what he deserved. And he did with it, and while he was doing the serving, guess what he was doing? He was making contacts with people who did have the resources to get the things that we needed in our school. Man built a brand new gymnasium by doing that for us. And it was always for us. So these things that I talk about that will not be in the paperback version, but in the hardback copy. I talk about the Sambo Angel and my experience and narrative from that, from colleagues in the school where I first became assistant principal, and how I got presented with this black Sambo Angel. I have a picture of it in the book, and I also have it in the case here in my house. It taught me another hard truth. That regardless of how many degrees I have or any folks that look like me half, you know, you were still the N-word, or you were still relegated to just being, in their eyes, something lower than themselves. So this is the book. I end the book with the way I throw it out, with the quote from Dr. Michelle Obama, former First Lady of the United States of America, and that's how I end it in the epilogue. And again, it's written for those who dare to make a difference, because we have a lot of great educators who are of color, but oftentimes they have to fly below the radar in order to just survive, and sometimes can't reach their full potential for themselves and for those that they lead. I talk about the opposition that I had, and it was strong, because when I was first introduced as a principal of one of the schools I led, someone hollered out from the back of the room, "Oh my God, it's a black woman." That was the introduction. That was at, my supervisor introducing me, and that was the response. So again, every day you have the power to choose our better history, opening your hearts and minds by speaking up for what you know is right. And until my dying days, I will always do that. I will take the stand. I will take the blow. I will take the intel. And I will take to do what is right, because I know what is right. I was taught what is right. I've been around people who also did the same thing, who were always full of integrity. And because of that, that's how I led. That's how I lived my life. And this is the book I have written. You know, while people are trying to destroy our history now, our history won't be destroyed. Like me and all the rest of us, including you, Doc, we're going to continue to tell our stories and continue to make sure that we represent our culture to the best of our abilities and never look back and keep moving forward. White prejudice and systemic white privilege and systemic prejudice in the Little Red Schoolhouse, narratives and hard truths by a former African-American principal, Scarlett H. Black, Scarlett Harvey Black, Master of Education.
Awesome. I tell you, see how special our co-host is. She didn't need time to take a break. She talked through it. And I tell you, it is awesome to hear the direction she's going. I want you to still, we got time. You want to call in and be a part of the show, that's 347-857-4192. Press 1. I'll make sure I get you online by identifying the last four digits of your cell or telephone number and ask for your location. Then you can join the conversation. You'll have a chance to talk with Scarlett Harvey Black, M-E-D, awesome author. I'm telling you, the book, just hearing her talk. I don't have but one question that I'm going to ask of you, author Black. I'm going to say it like that. That's not a person, that's author Black. In your title, you mentioned the Little Red Schoolhouse. I want you to take a minute to kind of share with individuals, because I had that question asked to me. What is a Little Red Schoolhouse? That's because in one time we understood what a Little Red Schoolhouse is, whereas sometimes now they don't see anything that looks like a red schoolhouse, a little schoolhouse in general. Can you just share with those individuals, in your title, the Little Red Schoolhouse, what exactly when you was writing that you wanted to identify with so they know exactly what the Little Red Schoolhouse is?
In little one-red schoolhouses dotted throughout the United States of America, some schoolhouses were painted red, and they had bells at the top where you ring the bell for school to take session, for school ready to come, time to come in, and you ring it when school was out. And so I took it from that. And in fact, if you look at When Calls to Heart, Wind Calls the Heart, the little schoolhouse that she teaches in, reminded me of what I have pictured on the book, on the front of the book, the Little Red Schoolhouse, and throughout the book. But it reminded me of how education starts with little one red school rooms, or one mm-hmm. red, you know, little one room schoolhouses, and on the prairies or across the country, and that's
yeah.
where I got the that's where that was my title for that.
And I tell you, that's awesome. I'm glad you're able to share that with you. I have a picture, Scarlett, that author, Scarlett. I have a picture that I share with people from time to time where I was in a when I was in private school around 4 or 5 years old, and it was a one room schoolhouse. And I asked mm-hmm. them to point at me and tell me which one out of the list of the group kids. You can, or whether you can locate me. And it's amazing how so many people pick the wrong person. But you know what? I want to share with them that we were in one rooms, even to the point where, you know, it could have been maybe two rooms, but still you had at these small private schools. You had our black private schools. I believe there are and was black private schools during that time. Just like we have private schools now. And it was just one room. And we worked from that, and we had up to 15, 16, 17-year-old students. And all of us, and then we learned from each other. And the principal, and God bless his soul, Ms. Brown, was our principal at Brown Private. And I tell people the story, and they're always like, what? Then let them see the picture. So I understand, but I wanted you to share because the question was asked to me. I said, I'm going to let the author share with you what the Little Red Schoolhouse is all about. I tell you, Carla, it's been awesome. And I tell you, we had quite a few people join us since the start of the show, and I want to give them shout-outs so you know that they are here, and they've been listening, checking us out. So I want to make sure I do that, and then we'll get to the closing remarks where you can share with the watchers and listeners how they can purchase a copy of your book. And because we're going to purchase several copies, and we're going to provide them to our listening audience through our drawing process. So we're going to make sure your book is available on this show at all times. So we're going to talk about making sure we do that now. But let me give a shout out to those people that joined us, Scott, since, you know, we started this show. We have Noon Kowiski joining us. Thank you so much. D. Ross with the number 6 joining us. We have DJ Jefferson out of the great state of Tennessee. Jacqueline Davidson joining us out of McKenzie. That's where I first started teaching in McKenzie, Alabama. Queen Minister Lewis, which is the host of the Shannon Show on WBSW Radio, the internet station. Thank you, Queen, for joining us. Stars Sakane, thank you for joining us. Dr. Olivia E. Smith, co-host, she's joining us by way of Facebook. That's Dr. O. She's joining. She said she just wanted to listen and just not ask questions, just listen. She's a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated. And also, just one of the statements, and you can type in you won the book, put it on there, and DM me, or either put it under the comments right now. Thank you, Jacqueline Davidson. She said she wants to get a copy. She hope I get it. She get one, so she would love to have a copy. So that's awesome. Then we also have others. Now we have Ashley Edwards, 2522. Ashley, she's Dr. Edwards, member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. We have MCB Baker. It's MCB Bake, but it's Baker, Daryl Baker, underscore 1848, member of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated. Then we have Turn to Wood, LLC, which is an organization that creates paddles and wood objects. Thank you for joining us. Scarlett, I tell you, it's awesome. See, I like interviews, and some people may not. They be talking about, oh, say something. I want you to talk and feel freely. You shared everything. Actually, you went through the book. Like I said, we're not only on WBSW Radio buy one copy. We're going to buy many copies. We want to help get it turned up. We want to get it started. That way we can make sure our listeners and watchers have an opportunity to obtain a copy as well. But I want you to share how they can purchase a copy. They may want to be as a gift for somebody, because these are some awesome gifts to read. This read is an awesome gift to give to family members, young or old. You got an opportunity. Scarlett, can you just share with listening and watchers in regards to how they can purchase a copy of this awesome book?
Yes. The publisher, my publishing company, made the announcement last week, and I did send the announcement to Dr. Smith for that, because I do reference Smith Productions in my book, and also you're in my dedication too, Doc.
Hey,
I want you to know that.
Oh, come on now. Go ahead on.
And so I want you to know, because I appreciate you very much, and we've had such fun on this show in terms of just talking about real, like I said, real life issues and things that are still affecting us. But it's going to be, the book is going to be sold internationally as well as on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. There'll be also a digital form of the book will be forthcoming too. The book is, we're just right around the corner for putting it on the market, getting ready to sell it. But the this was basically the announcement about that that is coming. And my publisher, you know, wanted that out there. So they're real pleased about you being the first interviewer opportunity to talk about the book. It's the first time I've ever talked about it, really. I mean, seriously. I wrote it. I've gone through it, I don't know how many times, you know, with edits and things of that nature and things I want to add and some things I want to enhance in the book. But anyway, it's coming. So as soon as this, it is absolutely on the market. I'm waiting for my copies to come to me now. We're just in a waiting mode for a few weeks here, maybe less. So as soon as that happens, I'll let you know to send the word out to everyone that it's here, it's on the market, it's available. So just keep looking. But Amazon, Barnes & Noble, e-books, and then the international versions. There'll be two versions, paperback. Paperback will not have the Black Sambo angel narrative in it. The hardback copy will have that. And the cover is going to have the Little Red Schoolhouse. So when I first started as principal, the old bell that was in one of the schoolhouses that was torn down, and on the property where we went to, I had that. And every year I would go out in front of this multimillion-dollar school ringing the old bell for kids to come in to the schoolhouse.
That's what I'm talking about. Scarlett, thank you so much. It's an awesome, awesome opportunity. We're all about neighborhood, block by block. We're talking about starting at the grassroots level. This is where you have to start. And you as watchers and listeners, I want to challenge you to make sure you purchase a book. You can go to Amazon, and she said the copy is going to be available in a couple of weeks. And let me ask you, you're going to have a book signing, so I can bring that show to the book signing now. I'm bringing the show to the book signing now. So you just need to let me know when you're going to do it. We're coming.
All righty.
So as soon as you let me know the book signing, we will be there. We're going to broadcast live from that spot. If we got to talk with the author and her agent before we're sharing that, getting our early start. We want to be the first to interview, the first one to broadcast her book signing. That's what we want to be able to do. WBSW Radio is all about lifting everyone up. We have to do it together. So we're the internet station and excited about this. Scarlett, I tell you, it's always good to have a chance to dialogue with you and talk with you, because see, God has blessed us on Monday night, the first and third Monday, to have exciting show, real talk, talking about real life issues. And we talk block by block, neighborhood by neighborhood, and family by family. That's what we do. With the last minute or two, Scarlett, you can share your final closing remarks, and then I will close the show out. Thank you so much for being an awesome person. Truly love you because you do an awesome job. Thank you for giving up your time to be a part of Talking Real to You Prime Time. It's all yours. The floor is yours.
Thank you again for the opportunity, and thanks to all the listening audience and for our Divine Nine community, because we do this work together. It's not isolated. We know the problems and the challenges that we face in our communities, and we know that we have to continue on. And as my mother would always say, you work until God calls you home. And that's always been my goal. It was my mom's goal, and she instilled that in me and my brother. Work until God calls you home. You never stop, because you got to be a model, and you got to show the way to those that are trying to find their way. Thank you for letting me have this opportunity.
You are so welcome, and I want to say, Dr. Oles says I am so impressed with Ms. Black and her accomplishment. I'm just reading what she has. Would like to.
So she's a sweetheart. I love Dr. O.
So we're moving forward. So thank you so much, author Sarah Scarlet Ace Black, a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated, the blue and white grinding and doing things again, making things do what it do. Thank you so much, my sister, and we look forward to your being back. You know, to schedule a lie or two in 2 weeks, come back with us, and we can make it do what it do on that Talking Real to You.
All right.
Thank you so much, Scarlett, so much. It's been awesome. And to all of our watchers and listeners, I called out your name because God blessed us to get together. And we're so blessed to have individuals take time all over the world to be a part of this. WBSW Radio, the internet station. Hashtag truly one life matter. Hashtag responsible. Hashtag make it do what it do. Hashtag communicate for understanding. Keep on grinding. And it's a mindset. And God has blessed us to come before you because we truly, truly love you. We love you. It's coming from our hearts. We have no problem in saying that, because that's what it's all about. This 445 episodes come about because of you and our guests who've taken time to share with all of us something special. Again, Sarah Black, thank you so much. And to all our listeners and watchers, thank you for taking time. We wouldn't be where we are without you. And all the members of the Divine Nine, and I called out just about every organization, thank you so much for taking time and being a part of this. We have an awesome show planned truly, truly for Wednesday, which is our sports show. And then we will come back, and it's a possibility tomorrow we'll do a Dr. Lowe's show dealing with the neighborhoods, Dr. Lowe's neighborhoods. We want to talk about some issues at 1 o'clock tomorrow. So join us at 1 o'clock. Truly, truly, I thank each and every one of you all. It's from my heart. Like I say, I love you. And as I close out, like always, having a special author here tonight, a member of the Blue and White family, my heart is bubbling over with joy. But then she said, it's something reference about me and what we're doing on WBSW Radio. Y'all just don't know. I'm just jumping around. I'm excited because I'm ready to read the book. Yes, and we're going to make sure we get that autographed copy and all of y'all. You know, I want to make sure I can have for everybody to get a chance to read. I know it's an awesome read. Just remember, it's all by our co-host and now author, Scarlett Ace Black, her newest book. God is good. He's truly been a blessing to allow her to come to the night. I want all of y'all to have an awesome rest of the night. And tomorrow, look for us at 1 o'clock tomorrow. We're going to do Dr. Lowe's Neighborhood. We're going to talk about some issues in our neighborhood. We're going to get back to our series of building boys to be the fathers of the future. That's what it's all about. As we close out, we're going to end it with always the way I end it. And it's truly from my heart. I don't want to say this. I show you love, from my heart, truly from my heart, and from my soul, because it's my inner self. I love you. It ain't a thing you can do about it. Have an awesome rest of the night, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye.